That has not been really good. I'm disappointed.
No, I was hoping to do that. Or that way I can learn how to be a chairman of a committee.
Well, there isn't much to it. Well, it's like this. It is about 10 o'clock. On January 6th, and I will call to order the meeting of the ad hoc committee on sewer, I guess, wastewater futures or something.
There we go.
Yeah, land for it. And so let's put the allegiance to start off. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As I can see, Mr. Prince is here.
I'm here.
That means both of us are here, so the forum of the committee is complete. And we'll turn it over to Mr. Kempa to explain why we're here.
So fantastic. I'm going to share my screen. We also have Brandy Cobble. Brandon is waving there. That's our district engineer with Alfonso's crew. He's been pretty solid with us for the past, year and a half or so, at least. You know, so he's been very dedicated to all the work that we're doing, and he's doing a great job for us. Really enjoying working with him. So anyway, Brandon has been intimate with the various funding sources, been instrumental in getting us through all the hoops and keeping us up with all the reporting requirements and pay requests and everything else on all the projects we have. So this discussion, and then quick let me hit share and see what we got. Oh, it's gonna work. So where we are today, this is a discussion about opportunities for the future, because there is I'm not really sure exactly how to advance to the next slide when I'm on the hang on, maybe I'll do it down here. Good, okay. This out of the way too. So the main purpose of this is to talk about the money that's coming through the State Budget Act. It's not all that often that the state drops money from its budget directly into funding water and wastewater projects and other things. And when they do, it's typically for political reasons. There's extra money floating around. There are needs, there are pressures, and it's an opportunity to get money out to a broad range of population quickly. And that is typically the directive that happens, is that, they're looking to fund projects that are ready to proceed or projects that meet a high community need. And so this is where we are with this particular discussion. The district has no real intention to chase funding just to chase funding, but we have a huge amount of needs. We have way more needs in the tens of thousands of dollars than we can possibly fund on the wastewater side with our small 1,500 customer base. So it's an opportunity. The last time this happened was around between 2000-2005, and the state was funneling a bunch of money, and there were a lot of bonds that were passed, and money was flowing really fast. And in fact, some of that money still continues to be around today and allocated in different ways. So informing the goal of this discussion today, anyway, is to inform on the money through the state budget. A little bit of discussion about the state's push for conversion of private septic systems to public sewer, and that's occurring within the Budget Act money. It's not occurring within GCSD. It's not a GCSD interest or need. It's occurring directly within the negotiations that are taking place in Sacramento for this funding. And in fact, there's a hearing on this. I believe it's on a week from, it's the 19th, I think it is. It's a Thursday in Sacramento, where they're actually going to be making some final decisions on the criteria for how this is going to roll out. And it's all rolled out by 2026. So that means it's moving. For government money, that's really, really fast. So that's the push. The state on two fronts is pushing the conversion of septic to sewer. One is there have been areas of contamination, groundwater, different things. The other is just, a lot of the septics were built between the 50s and the 70s. And in the rural areas, such as where we are, those were intended, the septics were intended for vacation homes. They're built as just a small standard septic for a house. And you're on soil that's not very conducive for high loading in these septic systems. So the state is constantly modifying its approach and its regulations related to private sewer systems, private septic systems. So there's a push. They're throwing money into it to try to get that conversion to take place because it's extremely expensive.
Yeah.
We wanted to discuss the GCSD wastewater treatment plant and the needs that the GCSD plant has in its future upgrades and future permitting and how that relates to this opportunity. And then actually review some of what we see as opportunities and then talk about next steps. This is the first discussion we've had. There's been a lot of interest. It's really good that people are paying attention and want to know and want to get involved in the discussion. And so this is, again, the first introduction. We don't have any desired outcomes on this, other than I want to start the process of getting input and direction from the board, and also see what the community interest and needs are for this, because we can sit back and do not much and let it,
sooner or later they'll get to us.
Yeah.
So the big thing here with this is that the state has put $650 million, that's two-thirds of $1 billion, into wastewater projects. And this is straight out of the presentation that was linked on that notice from the State Water Board. And they have an asterisk priority to septic to sewer conversions. There's not a real good definition on what that priority is and what it means, except that I'll get into it here in the next couple slides. But that is the focus right now. The drinking water projects, we'll talk about in another meeting. We've got needs with the, we've got the downtown Grumman Big Oak Flat Water Project and tank renovations and tank moving and those kind of things. We're moving that on a parallel track, but the major community issues of wastewater projects, just because of the cost and the need. So that gives you an idea of where we are with that. One of the things that you may have all seen before is the fact that the state has a criteria on how they award grants. I'll go through it real quick, because I know it looks small from here. But basically, it's all based on median household income and the amount of your wastewater rates as a comparison or a percentage of the median household income. So if you're not a disadvantaged community, in order to qualify for any grant and up to 50%, your wastewater rates would have to be 4% or more of the median household income. So if your median household income is 50,000, you multiply that times 0.04, and that is the annual amount of your wastewater rates before you can get a grant. We don't have that. We're no longer that. We may be 2.5%. The hard part is we don't know for certain what the median household income is. There's, you know, it's obviously, it's different within the PML and outside PML. It might be different between Big Oak Flat and Groveland, but we are one wastewater system. Even though we serve, you know, all these different areas, we're one wastewater system. So they're going to take take the numbers and mix them together and come up with a number. Right now, we are considered a disadvantaged community, a small disadvantaged community. And that is that's something that the state is working on right now. And you'll see that coming out fairly soon. They're doing an income survey. The state is doing that through Rural Community Assistance Corporation because they don't have any income data that they believe in Groveland. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But it's all based on that. So it's not, the state doesn't just get the money and then give it to any community that needs it, you know, because there are a lot of communities that have done a real good job of keeping the rates, funding things, and they've got enough money to do it. And they're, you know, and their rates aren't, the rates don't meet that criteria and their income doesn't meet that criteria. And they shouldn't get grants, but.
So the question, the median household income, they're doing a special survey of this. This isn't just the regular biannual, whatever it has its own acronym, but the normal survey is that they're doing this specifically for us now.
Yeah.
Is that also going to address the issue of how many part-time houses there are?
Yes. They've got their own criteria that they have to follow, and we don't control it. We don't, it's something, it's not something we commission. They required, the State Water Board required it as they were processing, as they were moving our downtown Groveland Big Oak Flat water project into the water intended use plan. They have to come up with what percentage of grant, right, what's loan, and if we're even eligible for grant. Because we won't be eligible for grant if our income is higher, if we're not a disadvantaged community, we're above 80% of the median statewide median household income, and our rates are less than 4%. We will not qualify for any grants, zero. Also, if more than 50%, I think, of the homes or vacation homes, we can't qualify either.
Never ran into that one before. I just saw it.
I know it's an interesting criteria. You might,
yeah, sure. Go ahead. We actually have another.
I have a question. Okay, can you hear me? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay, this is what I need to understand, because it's very interesting what Director Swan brought up. We were already qualified on the with the grants that we're doing for the water line and the sewer line, you know, upgrades,
mm-hmm,
as being disadvantaged when you combine Pine Mountain Lake with Big Oak Flat and the rest of Groveland. And that was through the state too. So don't they have us already like marked down as being disadvantaged? Yeah. Or come on.
They do.
They do.
They do.
Isn't that to our advantage?
It is.
Okay.
But when they say, we want to do an income survey because the data we have is old and inconsistent, we don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's their legal team and their finance team and their, you know, and they do get a lot of political pressure from other areas to make sure that that money doesn't go to the wrong places.
Okay, you know? And if I have another question and you don't go to that area, when can I ask that? Because
yeah, we'll take a break every so often for questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is it's a committee meeting, so it's a little on the
edge. It's a little more relaxed.
But
okay.
We do actually have somebody that had sent in a chat question.
I guess the question is what kind of boundary? Beyond the district boundaries, the answer is no. It's not intended to extend anything beyond the district boundaries. We could not, this money would only be for either replacing existing infrastructure and collection system or wastewater plant, or converting private septic to sewer. I guess it could be outside the district boundaries, but we'd have to have a request. They'd have to go through LAFCO,
yeah,
you know, those kind of things. So it was not intended to be outside the boundaries.
And also, to be clear, there is a chance that at some point, some of this money maybe you may be talking about, in fact, septic to sewer conversion within the district.
Yes.
I don't think we're rushing to do that. We're just trying to understand. You know, it's not like we're going to go off and make a project to do that just so we can collect some money like that. It's not my intention.
Right.
But we have to face the fact that sooner or later, the state is going to mandate that, at least in some areas. And so we at least need to be aware of what our alternatives are.
Right.
I think that's part of the discussion here.
It is. And if you look at the far right column there, max cost per household per project, there has been a limit in the past of 30,000 per connection. In other words, you know, you take the total cost of the project, the total number of beneficiaries, you do the math, and you can't move forward with a project that was in excess of that. They have had a that's been a criteria in the intended use plan for a long time. Okay, it's increased a little bit. Used to be 25, now it's 30. Anyway, that was a hard number. In other words, you had to do a project that didn't cost that much because it's easy to get to that amount.
Yeah,
when you're doing through. Okay, so what they have now is for septic to sewer conversion, that number goes up to 75,000. Per connection. So in other words, if you're doing, you know, converting 100 septic, you're building infrastructure to convert 100 septic to public sewer, you take 100, multiply it by 75,000. And what is that? 7.5 million, right? That's the amount that up to that they could make available for that infrastructure to be able to do the project. I mean, that's a lot of money. But anyway, so that it does factor into if you're doing a regionalization system, in other words, combining smaller wastewater systems into a larger one, or doing a septic to sewer conversion project, they give you a bunch more per connection. It's not that they give it to you. You go in, the process is, hey, Brandon, if you can hear me, can you just quickly outline the process that we go through to get to the intended use plan?
Intended use plan?
Yeah, to get into the intended use plan and then the you know.
So as of right now, the intended use plan, the cap's actually been lifted. So you can go up to, so in the intended use plan, it lists that you can get up to 75,000 per connection or up to 90,000 for deputy director approval. But as of right now, they got this very large pot of money that I think Peter mentioned before, and they want to use a lot of that money by 2024. They want it to be allocated by 2024. So what they've done is they've actually removed that cap.
So that's and do you know if that's what they're voting on in a couple of weeks, or because I didn't see that in the documentation. It looked like they had a question mark behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not too sure, honestly. I could double check on that though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Alfonso, Peter, and Brandon. I'm also on the line, but I believe so. I believe they're going to be considering that in a form of a formal resolution. In the next board meeting, but you know, unofficially, what we hear from all the project managers at the state is that internally they've been saying that the funding caps are being lifted. They gotta spend this large pot of money, and limiting it to $6 or $10 million is not gonna do the job. So they're gonna lift all the funding caps.
Okay, so that's a pretty good indicator that they're gonna blow through this money.
Yeah,
you know, that means projects that couldn't get funded before are gonna be right there on the table. So there'll be a lot of competition for it too. So that's that's not going to be a permanent criteria change, I'm sure, you know. So that's why this discussion is occurring. Again, we're not pushing toward anything. Hey, Alfonso and Brandon, was that just for the septic to sewer conversion or for all types of projects, the cap?
I believe it's for all types of projects, but if you can see the intended use plan already puts an emphasis on, you know, the limit on regular projects is $6 million. The limit on septic to sewer is $10 million. So they really want to push these septic to sewer projects. The state, has been doing that for a few years. When they passed that OTS policy, that on-site wastewater treatment systems policy, they're making it harder to permit new septic systems. And this is sort of a way to provide funding for an alternative, which is what they want to do. They want to connect people to septic systems, to community sewer systems.
Okay, good deal. I'm gonna read this question because I don't know if everybody can see it. You mind me doing that? So there was a question that says, the second part of my question wasn't answered. What, if any, impact will there be on existing septics? Will there be a requirement to switch to sewer for those currently on septic? The answer is if there's a community request, a community need for the district to proceed with a project for conversion of septic to sewer, those that receive that infrastructure, you know, those where the infrastructure is intended to serve, that we would look for a request from them. We're not looking to push it. We're saying the money's there. If the community, if the area thinks it's a good thing and a request comes in to us and we move forward with it and the infrastructure is installed, the answer is yes, there would be a requirement to connect. The thing with this funding that hasn't been in place before is this funding will pay for the infrastructure and getting the homes connected to it, which has always been a problem in the past because the state has given money to do the infrastructure, and then you have a certain amount of time to get converted operationally and by your state contract. And many times it's difficult to get people to do anything, but they have to pay that cost that can be, you know, $5,000-$10,000 to get their plumbing redone to get to the sewer.
And then something done with the septic tank.
And yeah, that usually it's just filled up, you know, and abandoned in place. But so the answer is, if there's a community need identified, and if we move forward with a septic to sewer conversion project in an area, wherever that area is, the people that are served by that line would be required to connect within a certain times.
But if there's an area where we don't have a sewer line going out to,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be required to convert. I mean, there's nothing for them to convert to. I mean, there's no sewer line out there. Are we going to be asked to put in sewer lines in areas that aren't served?
That's what this is about.
Be part of the project.
Yeah, okay. You have to get out there.
I think to clear this person's question up, that's inside our boundary.
Yes.
Okay. But also, the requirement, I think Pete has alleged or has alluded to this, if you had a community, if you had a small area someplace that said, gee, we'd like to go on sewer. I can't imagine why they would do that, but if they did, maybe their septic tanks are failing.
Yeah.
If there was sufficient demand for that, then we might extend it to that area. There is no immediate plan to do anything of that sort. I had mentioned in my earlier comment on your question that you know, for some years now, we have been assuming that there's going to come a day when the state is going to say, everybody has to convert to sewer within the next 10 years or something like that. There's a lot of people that, you know, there's a lot of problems with septic systems all over the state. That hasn't happened, and that's not what this money is about. So we have, it's not like we're out there attempting to do a septic to sewer. It's the thing you put it.
Right. It's
Yes, yes, I do. Because we're into the question thing every little bit. So this is my, this is what most people want to know. Okay. The way this is presented appears, it just appears that it's like everybody from the October 12th agenda submittal. It appears that it's going to be all the other lots in Pine Mount Lake that are not on sewer, but kind of what you said, Mr. Swan, Director Swan, was if you want, or Pete said it, if you want to hook into it, I didn't read it that way. I read it that it's going to be all or nothing, because if they're going to give you money, if the state's going to give you a few million dollars to do this, you can't just stick it in an escrow account and say, okay, well, when the people on Crest Haven want to, you know,
go. We can't get the money that way.
Exactly. So it would force people, it would force some people on septic to pay a certain amount of money, which we don't know, because we don't know how much it would cost. If it's $30,000 or $75,000, that's what the state will pay per system. What if it runs over that?
Well, first of all, you just said that the limit has been taken off, so there isn't a limit. And secondly, as Pete just mentioned, one of the differences right now, and I guess septic sewer is what's on everybody's mind, so may as well talk about it, is that the state would now pay, include the cost of hookup. So there'd be no hookup costs. It'd still be on sewer, and so they have to pay sewer rates.
Right, you would pay the sewer rate, but
under the present plan, there would be no cost to the homeowner to hook up, to put in the system.
To put in the system.
And maybe they favor decommissioning the septic. I don't know. But, you know, that would be a relatively small amount comparatively, so they might throw that in too. But that is a change. Previously, you were stuck with the fact that they might pay us to put in the sewer lines, but homeowners would then have to put in the laterals. And that can be pretty expensive.
That's what's the expensive. That could be the $10,000 or the $15,000 that it would hit.
So right now it looks like they have enough money that if anybody was going to do a project like that, they would cover that cost as well.
Right. And
again, we have no plan to do it. There is a plan that Alfonso made many years ago, actually, and has been refining since, that it illustrates what the entire system would look like if it was completely built out.
Right, and that's that map.
That is not a project. That is just if we, you know, this would be what we would have to do if we were going to build out the system completely.
Okay, so that's not what you're looking at in that map. Is that what you plan to do? You don't know because it's got to go. Okay.
I mean, probably, you know, my personal feeling, I'm just going to say one member of the board, is we wouldn't do anything until the state required us to.
Well, and that's another thing, because years ago when this popped up, when Mr. Goodrich was here, the state said that they, you know, it wasn't, they weren't going to force people to, by this date, you have to convert. They weren't going to do that.
Well, and they haven't.
They haven't, so they may not.
They may not.
Right, they may not. Because it's difficult to say 1,500 people have to get off their septic and get into sewer, and That's a big deal. That you can't just force that on people.
Well, I mean, we can't. State could.
They said it wasn't likely that they would do that at the time. Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, the only reason that I think that we would ever see that full build up would be if we got a state requirement to do it. I mean, we might do parts of that if there was actually areas that said, you know, maybe we're, you know, we don't want to worry about our septic tanks any longer. We'll hook up the sewer, and if we get the money, so it didn't cost anybody anything to hook up. I'm pretty sure there's no appetite on the board to force the entire project.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, people are putting in engineered septics now for like $30,000, and what would happen to somebody that's just investing that money, and then all of a sudden they're told, oh no, no good, you know? So I worry about that too, you know, and a lot of the systems that are failing are just leach lines. They're not even the tanks themselves. So people can, I had a neighbor just had to dig some new leach lines and they were fine. So I just wanted to clarify that because this is all so vague. You know what I mean?
That's, I'm just, the plan you've seen, the map you've seen is what it would look like if it was fully built out. That's what we would have to do to build it out.
So I've been on the it's vague because we don't have a plan to do anything. That's all. It's really clear what the state is doing. You know, the state is pushing the money out there. And usually when the state does that, they intend to have something behind it at some point. They're going to push the money out there, convert your septic, and then they'll come back with more stringent septic regulations. And all of a sudden, then you've got to meet a higher standard. So then they'll push more money out to septic to sewers and increase the regulations again. And then pretty soon you're looking at, you know, a difficult time in the future to even build a private septic on a PML lot or rebuild your septic if it fails, you know, because the state regulations are expected to increase. I can't guess. I don't, that could be 100 years, it could be never. The state could put it on the county health authority and the county never do anything about it. It's usually based on a lawsuit from somewhere downstream. If there's, for example, if there's a highly contaminated tributary to one of the rivers or something, all of a sudden it shows up, it's hot with nitrates and dead bacteria, whatever it is, then what will happen is they'll send out a group of scientists and they'll test it and they'll go upstream and they'll try to determine where that contamination is coming from. And that's where they start to place a higher level of regulation. For example, some of the coastal communities, I'm very familiar with what happened in Los Osos down in the Central Coast is, you know, they were, because of the groundwater contamination that was occurring with the septic failures there, they were leaching too well. That, you know, they were leaching and getting down into the groundwater, and then they're having high nitrates and you know, septic contaminated groundwater. They put a moratorium on building, and that was in place for 30 years. So they just, you know, you couldn't build a new structure because you couldn't put in a new septic system and they had no sewer. So they just spent $85 million to put in the sewer, started back in like 1999. They finally got it connected in 2017. But, you know, $85 million is what that cost is, 10,000 connection system there. But so that's kind of what happens. I don't predict anything with the state doing that here because it runs in rocks and shows up in your neighbor's yard, not, you know, or your system fails completely and you gotta have it engineered.
But now back to your grant, what you were explaining on the grant money. Okay, I'm trying to figure out, you know, like this, these improvements we're doing to the water lines and the sewer lines now, you have to come up with a certain, if it's 75%, the district has to come up with 25%. What would the district have to come up with? These aren't 100% grants, right? Is there a percentage the district has to pay?
I would say that the, even back on that other criterion, if you look at the state's information that they're getting ready to vote on, there was even some discussion about removing that income criteria for small disadvantaged communities, having it be 100% no matter what. Yeah. You know, my guess is we would be where we are today as long as nothing major happens with this income survey that we have. Let's just say we stay at the 75% that we're at today, which is a disadvantaged community, not severely. Then that 25% would have to come from, it depends on what type of project it was. If it's a wastewater treatment plant itself, then it's every beneficiary to that wastewater treatment plant. All the lots that connect to that wastewater treatment plant would be funding that 25%. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but it's going to cost people some money in a couple of different ways here.
Let me move on to that. I want to, this seems to be the.
Do you want to address Joe? We kind of just addressed Joe's question about the match.
This seems to be coming up as a theme, and it might be another one of these things fueled by information that's not correct. It's not the district looking to build septic to sewers, convert. That's not it at all. I'll go right to it. We're faced with a project at our wastewater treatment plant where we will be needing to do a complete upgrade of that plant. Okay, it's worn out. It will not meet standards. When the state upgrades our permit, they could come in tomorrow, they could come in 2024, they could come in based on complaints, they could come in based on anything. Our permit is from 1984. So this plant was permitted and operating in accordance with a permit written in 1984. And it doesn't mean that lives on forever. The next time it's permitted, it has to meet current Clean Water Act standards. And everything is negotiable with the environmental groups and downstream water interests and everything else. So it will be an upgrade of 10 million or more to that wastewater plant. And again, if they come in and they do an evaluation and say, we're going to upgrade your permit, it may take them a couple of years to do it, but then they're going to give us a time schedule order to fix it. Okay. That's why you see TUD right now going through a $35 million upgrade to their treatment plant. And because they were put on an order to get it upgraded. They weren't meeting the standard. They got re-permitted. They weren't meeting the standard. They had to do the improvements. They had to borrow, a big chunk of money. They got some grant. So it's not optional. So when the state comes in, you have to make that upgrade to the treatment plant. What I, as the business manager, am trying to roll out here is that if we sit back and say the state's never going to come in and they're not going to upgrade our permit and we're not going to have to make those improvements, or we'll wait until that time, we run the risk of not having the same financial condition in the state at that time, but still having a time schedule order that we have to meet to get the work done. Which means we would have to beg, borrow, and steal whatever money was available at that time within to get the treatment plant rebuilt. We would have to access that money and get that work done. And that would be, if it became a loan, $12 million loan or something, we don't know what that would cost at this point, but a $12 million loan divided by the existing number of customers, the 1,500 sewer customers, that would be a significant burden. And you can't just say, no, we're not going to improve it. We're not going to meet the criteria, because then they do issue cease and desist orders, they issue fines, they don't let you make any new connections, no new homes to be built. So we're being proactive. This money is coming out, it's flowing. We need to rebuild the treatment plant. And so we're looking at ways that we can get that done. At the same time, we're throwing it out to the community, an opportunity to understand that the amount of money we can receive is significantly more if there is a need to convert some septic systems to sewer. And some of what we have seen in some of the other resort communities is that the transition to the short-term rentals has put a significant load on existing single-family septic systems, and they're starting to see failures. It doesn't mean that they can't rebuild their septic, go with an engineered septic, but looking to reach out to the public to, make sure, number one, they understand we don't want to go out and grow the system. We want to educate, offer our assistance in securing funding if they want a project that does a conversion. Other than that, we're gonna, I would recommend that we proceed with funding for the wastewater plant.
That's gonna happen.
Because as you were saying, eventually they're gonna come in and re-permit our plant, and it's gonna have to be improved, and there may not be money there. Now there is. Let's do it while the money's available, because it's going to have to happen. It's going to have to be done. And this would generate less of a burden to the customers on sewer. Hopefully no burden, but I doubt that.
Can we just check if there's any pending chat questions, clean up the questions, and we get on with
the ideas for that.
I think that one was answered. What map? So do we have a map that we could share?
A map of what?
Yes,
I'm going to, I don't think I really had anything more here. This is just the state's, this is from the state's presentation about the septic to sewer stuff.
Behind
So let me go to my other screen here.
So we're just going to jump to the map. Do you want to look at the other questions real quick?
I'll share that at the same time I'm
reading the questions.
I can see the chat if you put it back up there. Let's see. So what map? I'll show a map. This is not, we don't have a plan to do anything at this point. It may be, you know, if there was an area to convert from septic to sewer, it need to come from the people that wanted to do it, you know, the area. And then obviously that, you know, they and us would need to work with the neighbors to determine whether that's something they wanted to do. Like I said, I've been through this before where we did not take advantage of funding that came up, and there was a need to make some conversion, extend some sewer, make some conversions. And because we didn't do it, then there was an outcry of concern of why didn't you think this money was available? This neighboring community is getting money to fix their septic systems. Why didn't you access it? Well, you know, this is trying to get proactive and see if there's a need. If not, we just don't think about it.
As far as what method would you use, I don't know. I think that's kind of like this committee is the start of trying to have some open discussion about, you know, we want to make people aware of what the situation is. And the fact that, you know, and find out if there is any appetite for anything, really, except for the wastewater treatment plant, which we know we're going to get hammered, you know, we're going to have to deal with. Because, well, for one thing, just look at the UV.
So you have two issues. You've got the wastewater treatment plant and this big project that might come to the table.
And the repairs, which we already have the funding.
And the what?
The repair project, which is currently,
right, which is currently
you know, undergoing.
The water and sewer line.
That was step one. Step two, unavoidably, is that we have to figure out how we're going to deal with the wastewater treatment plant.
Have you guys started on that project already? No, on the two upgrades with the grant funding already.
The
extension of the water lines and sewer, and, you know, the
started in the sense
upgrades.
Of digging in the ground.
We've received budget approval for the phase one of the sewer collection system, which is the downtown Groveland Legal flat area. We're waiting for approval for the phase two, which is the Pine Mountain Lake section of it. We've got the environmental documents on our agenda for next week. So that construction, we're looking at holding off on having the contractor start until early spring.
The money hasn't.
They don't give you
money. It's reimbursable.
Oh, it's reimbursable.
They never give you money.
You spend the money, then
they spend it. Yeah, it's like, you know, sometimes you'll have $3 million that you're waiting for them to pay you back.
Okay.
I still want to address that, the question from Joe, because that's really, I think, is pretty clear and pointed. And that is how we determine if the community-wide septic conversion is desired. I never pictured any of this as a community wide. I mean, the whole system would be that would, you know, that is a lot of pipe, a lot of work, and you would need a solid buy-in from the community that was, they need to be packed in here saying, yes, do it. We're in. We want to make this happen.
So that's kind of the second part of this question. Would it be by ballot vote or survey?
Well, survey, yes. Ballot, the only time we do it by ballot vote is if we were looking to do a property assessment to secure that, to secure better financing for the, to pay off the 25%. But it doesn't make sense because that 25% would be provided through the state loan that's already super low. It's the lowest we could ever get. So you don't need an assessment, a revenue assessment to pay for that. It'll be just part of the rates, just like it is now with the current loan.
So our portion of the matching grant funding, DCSD's portion would be 25%?
That's estimated now, Joe. It just depends on if that determination stays in effect. Right now, we're identified as a disadvantaged community. Okay. And so the grant to loan ratio is 75-25.
I think that determination would hold up given, you know, just my experience living and working here for 30 years. I think that it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I am not sure because they're going to be surveying homeowners that pay the bills that may not be living here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be unfortunate. The other thing is I'd like to offer from a, you know, as mentioned by some of the folks earlier, there was a concern that, you know, the ratepayers of, you know, the folks that own septic systems would be forced to convert to sewer. And you guys have covered that very well. You know, I recommend, I know you guys do a good job of communicating. You're welcome to utilize some space in the PML News if you'd like to do an article or something to get that information out as well.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Yeah,
thank you. We'll do that.
I think, you know, we definitely want a consistent message that this is just a survey and outreach to see if there's interest and need, and it wouldn't, you know, we need to make sure that it got really out there to the people that, even if they're not local residents, if they're, you know, own property, and many of them might have them as short-term rentals, you know, if there's a cluster of them that come forward and say, yes, absolutely, we may be able to pick it out on this, on the system, and find a fairly simple extension that can be done. And then you would want to go and identify, okay, who are all the property owners along that, and reach out specifically to them, get them in a room and make sure that everybody, at least the majority of them, you're always going to have one or two people that say, I'm not going to do it no matter what.
Right.
But unfortunately, if you've got 75 out of 100 people that are ready to go, and there are 25 along the way somewhere that say, I like where I am, I don't want to do it, you're kind of in a quandary, you know. Then it's a decision of, once it's in, then they do have to connect. So anyway, I agree, that's great with the survey idea.
And you know, articles, and you know, maybe we make a presentation. I don't know, maybe the presentation is important to do a lot of good because there's not that many people that go to work. Something we want, it's important that people kind of understand that this is an issue. It's not an issue instantaneously, but this is stuff that is going on because of the evolution, because the state is so damn crowded, basically. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you have to try to be ahead of the game a little bit, and at least planning what we can do depending on what kinds of things occur to us. Okay. I don't mean in the sense that you think of them, like when they do something to us, and then we have to respond.
Yeah.
So the I think so. Did Joe have any more? Sorry, I'm going to stick my neck out.
No, you're no. I appreciate it allowing me time to speak. Again, you know, as long as I think it's important getting out there what your intent is, and then in basically layman's terms, explaining, you know, the basic bullet points, like you guys do, you know, with an FAQ or something, and just getting the information out to folks so they understand what's going on. And we're happy to support you on that. When they take a look at this map, the first thing they do, they start freaking out, thinking that, you know, there's going to be an immediate requirement to change from septic to sewer, and it's going to impact the entire community. You know, when once they understand, no, this is just laying out, you know, where these locations are versus what's required, then they'll have a better understanding of it and take a bit, you know, take advantage of the funding now, because like you said, it might not be available in the future, and you can get the whole wastewater treatment plant upgraded and under permit, and then address the benefits of moving from septic sewer down the road if you have to. You know, just getting that information out is really important, but I think you guys are on the right path.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that's it. I mean, you know, I'm dropping the layer in there.
Oh, there we go.
There's the,
whoa.
Yeah, I'll back out a little bit just so you can.
And that purple
is that the whole build out that you're putting up there?
This is what was done.
Mine's a different color.
Oh.
Mine's orange.
Green is existing.
Correct.
Purple is.
Is the whole build out.
If we were to do what Poison Cascade should have done in the first place.
So, you know,
maybe.
If
they do that complete build out, it's 36 lift stations.
Wow.
And to me, that's insane. 16 is enough. So
you'll be working.
That's just because you have to maintain them. That's
I would think if we were to go that far into the build, we would look at relocating the whole plant possibly. That way we can do away with some of that. That's my opinion, but anyways.
There were obviously some locations that might be easier than others, you know. And so, like I said, initially we'll look for people to come in and or fairly quickly respond to surveys and see if there were opportunities, see if there was interest. But for example, when you look at the, you can't see it there just because of the comments, but there you go. So the section here off of Pleasant View that would require just a, but there's quite a few lots in there that could be, can't see the street names, that Chaffee. So that these extensions here would allow the connection of all of those through there, all of these lots in here to the sewer, which is, a significant number for not a lot of extension.
Yeah.
I'm not focusing on that for any reason other than to give you an example, but it's not all miles and miles of pipeline and new pump stations and everything else.
I am concerned, if I may, that if we don't stay proactive with this, in 5 years, the state's going to say, we're not going to tolerate any more septic lines. This is California. We're not going to tolerate any more septic tanks. Convert to sewer. Make it mandatory. Then, you know, then there would be a significant burden on the customer, and maybe they aren't going to pay for the customer to connect to the sewer line. Could that happen? I don't know. I don't have a warm fuzzy about.
There are
waiting and seeing.
One of the things to bear in mind on that is that there are a lot of rural areas in California, not just us, and some of them are in worse shape than we are, as far as being reliant on septic and having the septic maybe not working so quick. So there is the danger I see is that there could be a statewide mandate that might not make allowance particularly for how bad things were in any given area. I mean, I'm, you know, I know that's doom and gloom, but it, you know, it worries me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's.
But you know, there's no indication that's happening anytime in the future. But it's,
yeah. In the documents we were looking at, in the first couple of paragraphs, it used septic system and it described septic systems in a kind of a bad way. You know, it said
nuisance.
Nuisance, that's the word.
State Water Board does not like them.
Septic tanks are a nuisance.
And you can see one of the indications is from the funding proposals that we're looking at here from the intended use plan and all that, there's a lot of emphasis on, gee, here's money for septic to sewer conversion. So far, that's not a mandate, but you're saying, here's, you know, if you want to do it, there's a lot of money available. But that, I think, indicates sort of the state of mind of the Water Board, which is they'd really like to have go away. Not to the point of requiring it yet, but, you know,
that's right. Okay. Yeah. So
was it my understanding that if we were to go out and get grant, we can't just get a grant for the wastewater plant with this money. You actually has to be a part of that other project, correct?
No. Alfonso and Brandon, can you address that particular topic? If we were to just go forward with an application for the wastewater plant, would there be any limitations or caps or anything that would get in our way?
Yes, I mean, I think like I said, the caps are being lifted right now. So there may be a potential that the project receives entirely grant funding, but it will be, I think the biggest to maximize our chances of getting 100% grant, if there was a septic to sewer component, even if small, I think it would catch their attention. But it definitely could be submitted as an application just to upgrade the wastewater plant and be proactive, knowing that the plant is aged and there is maybe new standards coming down the line. So yeah, that could be another approach. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we could get it funded. It just the priority changes.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of money that are set aside for the septic to sewer. So your field of competition changes. And once you're in that field, then you know, having access to that easier to get to money is gives us a better chance of getting the project funded, because we can't do any septic to sewer conversions without upgrading this plant. We're running into, we're not at capacity, but we've got a lot of other issues related, you know, it's just age and things are falling apart. You can't, you know, can't really repair some stuff and you can't expand other things. And so they kind of go hand in hand.
So if we just went with that one project, the wastewater plant, it wouldn't be as enticing as if you had components of septic sewer conversion.
Right.
So we might go down here instead of here on the list. We'd be probably bumped down a couple notches.
Is that a good way to think about it, Alfonso? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, that, I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
That's the way.
Yeah. He's a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
Rami has a question. Can the district be awarded and spend the money as projects come up within an allotted amount of time?
No. Good question.
Give us a pot of money. And
yeah, no, the money is very specific. We'd have to, because they have to also do the math on, you know, they may not have a cap, but they're still going to, that is still going to come into some kind of criteria, the cost per connection. But you have to identify the project so that you can do the environmental review, And to, if we did the environmental review and designed the entire project that may never be built, that would be kind of a waste of time and money. So you really need to identify the specific project that is definitely looking to move forward, and then do the environmental documentation and the engineering, and you know, and that's what the state awards the money on, is that engineer's estimate of probable cost for that project. It would be great if the state would just hand you money. I've had the state, because the state didn't used to pay for that lateral connection.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2004, no, it was actually 2000, I finished project in 2004. But this, we went to the state capitol and lobbied for money to replace the sewer and convert septic to sewer and all that in the community. And the they sent $1 million check. Uh-huh. Didn't have anything with it. It just was $1 million check.
Wow.
And it was for the project, you know, and it's from the State Water Board. And then they called and said, what's it for? Let's write a contract about it. That was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in my life. But that was because the state was blowing money out as fast as they could. We had made a request, our legislators supported it, probably got a political favor. Here comes that $1 million. And then, you know, but it was we used it to fund the lateral connection for those that didn't qualify for low income rent, you know, because it was really expensive to do the.
Okay, so if we reach a point where we might be through with.
It's from Joe.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head, Joe. And that if we even picked a number of them that were people were, you know, where we could extend the sewer main and get a number of connections that was large enough to be able to say we're doing a septic to sewer conversion and get us in the higher ranking category, and also show that the need for upgrading the plant is because we're adding these 50, 100, you know, 20 new septic to sewer conversions, that that would be good. The unfortunate thing is it can't be one over here, one over here, one over there. You know, that's the thing. It needs to be all in an area or down a street, or you know, it could be a couple small extensions. Those are the kind of things we need to work out the details on. But thanks, Joe. Those are good questions. And that's where we're going to certainly need your in there with your residents there. And maybe we can find those, because they may not come forward in a survey. And, you know, because they don't want to say they have a problem. They don't have the money to pay for it, whatever. So we may have to do some digging a little bit.
Okay, one more for you, and then let's let people
have. Okay, so here's the deal with septic failing. Most people don't know they have a problem with their septic system until that happens. So it's hard to determine if people want to switch over. You know what I mean? They wouldn't know until their system goes out.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you have it inspected, and that costs, you have to dig it up. That costs a few $100.
Okay. That's good. We got the linkage with Joe and Pine Mountain Lake, and I think that's going to be key to developing the understanding and getting at least the first round of input in some way. And so we'll work out those details. And maybe that can be our next discussion, is once we get some first initial feedback. And also by that time, we'll know what the state's doing with the money, you know, what their final criteria is. I think that's probably pretty good for right now.
There was one question that Joe had, was, is there a deadline to apply for the
money?
It's not out yet, Joe. There will be, and it'll be, typically it's first come first served. You know, they'll you know, and obviously those projects that are ready to proceed, we'll jump into the intended use plan first and be work through all of them.
Okay, right. I mean, if I was reading this correctly, they do actually rate them. I mean, if you're a disadvantaged community or lower, you get put on the fundable list automatically, but that doesn't mean you get funded. It just means you're on the list so they can do the priority on that. Because they won't fund everything. It's what, $7 billion worth of requests? And they have $500 million worth of money.
That's in this program, though. That's in the, the state budget allocation. There's still the normal clean water state revolving fund. And that clean water state revolving fund is going to see good chunks of money from the federal infrastructure as well. You know, so the infrastructure package. You get a lot of money flowing in besides this. So.
Okay, so you're done?
Yeah. Unless
they're hearing it. So, I mean, this is the beginning of what will probably be an extensive attempt to communicate with people.
Yeah.
And we'll probably need to get some articles together. I saw one suggestion up there, which was putting a, I don't know how effective it would be, but a newsletter insert into the bill. Perhaps we should try to work something like that.
We've had discussions internally.
At least once. I mean, you can't really
do
whatever.
Doing a quarterly newsletter.
Because we need, I don't know how many people actually come down and get a bill.
You get it delivered through, we can add the attachment as well.
I really want to get it delivered to everybody.
Well, if you have electronic billing, it would come as a PDF that you can open your email.
But what we're really looking at is where people sign up to get notifications, where it'll be automatically, they give us their email or a text message, and then we notify people through that rather than trying to get them in the bill and trying to get them on this on social media. I mean, it'll still be in those places as well, but get a more like a software program that's specifically designated to get information out to the customers and they can sign up for it.
Well, I mean, those are always good. Yeah, I mean, because if somebody has the trouble of signing up for it, they probably at least don't read it.
Yeah.
But you want to get it out to the other people that don't sign up for it. You want everybody.
Well, yeah, no, we want that. And we let people know through billing and probably phone calls that this was available and make it easy for people to sign up for those who would like to. So.
Okay. So we'll move with that right away. Brandon and Alfonso, anything else? Or did I miss anything? Anything you want to add at this point?
I think you captured pretty much mostly everything, all the items. It's a good presentation. No, we don't have anything else.
Are there any other questions from anybody that's logged in here?
I don't have any more. I was wondering though if you guys wanted to schedule the future meetings on this topic right now, or is that to be determined?
Let's do that at the next one because I don't know how long it's going to take us to get the survey structure together and roll that out. If we scheduled it for a month, we might just be saying we're going to have a meeting in a month and then not be prepared.
Yeah, we have something to.
But once we get the survey, we may be able to set up the next couple after that.
Okay.
Okay, this committee meeting is adjourned at
11:09.
Thank you for everybody that participated. Thanks for your comments. They're very useful.
Keep them coming. Communicate with us by email.
Yeah.
By all means, if you have any further ideas, send them in.